In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we begin our celebration of the Feast of the Annunciation. And this is a feast most certainly about the Lord, but it is also about Mary, and their lessons for us, and how we are to live our lives, and about what we believe as Christians. And the Church gives us two very important lessons in this feast. And the first is this, that the truth of the Incarnation is fully revealed. The angel Gabriel announces to Mary that she will bear a son, and that he is the Son of the Most High, and that he is both fully God and fully man, the beloved Son in whom God is well pleased. He is the Messiah, that is the fulfillment of the prophecy and the covenant of old, which John foretold even while in Elizabeth's womb. And this is important for our salvation and reconciliation to God, because these things are made possible because God himself sent his only begotten Son to us. The Church has consistently maintained this truth, which is key to our salvation. Jesus is not just a man, a holy teacher, or a most blessed prophet, or a person adopted by or joined at some point later on to God in sonship. No, Jesus is truly, eternally, the Son of God, begotten of the Father before all ages, fully human and fully divine. All this must be true for our salvation, and this is the truth that Christians have proclaimed from the beginning. On this feast, we celebrate that life-saving truth, which the Church has upheld and defended for over 2,000 years. The other very important lesson we draw from this feast is the power of the Virgin Mary as a model for us all. The yes that Mary gave, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word," demonstrates the power of the human heart that is fully open to God, that is humble before God, that leaves room for the possibility of all kinds of miracles to occur according to the word of God. Mary's yes also is a radical demonstration of the power of human freedom. God, in his infinite love and mercy, respects human freedom. He gave it to us, after all. Mary exercised this freedom in faith and love, choosing to conform her personal will to the will of God. And in doing this, the Incarnation becomes possible. And in doing this, she offers us the ultimate model of how we should conform our wills to God, how we should use our freedom in doing what the Lord taught us to do, how we should make our lives an offering of faith and love. Now, as always, we can turn to the hymnography of the Church, which reveals the deep meaning of the feast, and does so beautifully and poetically. In a hymn for the Feast of the Annunciation, which is sung in Matins, which is attributed to Andrew of Jerusalem, we hear this. Today the good tidings of joy are proclaimed. Today is the festival of the Virgin. Things below are joined together with things on high. Adam is made new. Eve is freed from the primal grief. And by the deification of the human nature that the Lord assumed, the tabernacle of our substance has become a temple of God. And the hymn continues. An angel ministers at the miracle. A virginal womb receives the Son. The Holy Spirit is sent down. The Father on high is well pleased. And according to their common counsel, a reconciliation is brought to pass, in which and through which we are saved. For this reason, let us unite our song with Gabriel's, crying aloud to the Virgin, Rejoice, O Lady, full of grace, the Lord is with you. From you is our salvation, Christ our God, who, by assuming our nature, has led us back to himself. Humbly pray to him for the salvation of our souls. And to this we can only offer our own assent. Amen and amen. God bless you all.